Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, it's another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. Hi there, Paul.
Hi, Mark.
Hey, we're continuing a rousing discussion of taxes.
Oh, I know. It's so exciting.
How to avoid them if possible.
Yeah, if you listened last week, you're going, still, Paul, you're talking about taxes. Oh, my gosh.
Well, this is, again, like I said last time, this is a main reason you want to get a good trust is so that you can avoid taxes if at all possible with your trust planning. So we're going to kind of do a little bit of review of where we were last time and some other issues that bring up some challenges tax-wise.
Yeah, so we talked about that there's two types of taxes. There's income taxes, which you just got done paying, and there's estate taxes. So we're talking about estate tax issues. Estate tax issues are when someone passes away, we have to value everything that they have in their life, and we have to come up with a total sum of what they own. And I mentioned bank accounts, money markets, investments, retirement funds, regardless of what the characteristic of them would be, homes, property, businesses, life insurance, the cryptocurrency, the gold you have underneath your bed. You should do a better job hiding it. Everything that you own, the personal stuff. All right, jewelry and everything in your house, we have to come up with a full value. And if you are over a certain threshold called an exemption, so in Washington State, it's $2,193,000. If you have more than that, then your estate may be subject to an estate tax, starting at 15%, graduating up to 21%. Now, if you have been blessed well beyond that, then the federal estate tax, you have a $13 million exemption, meaning the first $13 million is exempt from tax.
Federal.
But if you creep over that amount, 40% tax. Mm. So they're very different numbers. $2.2 million in Washington, $13 million on the federal, 15 to 21% in Washington, 40%.
But that federal tax burden can also be eliminated with
proper planning. That's right. And so we discussed this last week. You can head back to legacyandfaith.com. You can find all our past podcasts about this whole foundations series. We've been going through what would it look like if you walked into my office and what questions would you expect to hear from me and why? So it's been a much longer series, and we're kind of at the, well, we got to talk about taxes stage before we get to the end of this series. So now we want to talk about three main assets that people may own and how they play into an estate plan, and specifically how they play into the estate tax puzzle. Because if you own these three, there's probably a lot of misconceptions out there, and they tend to be very difficult assets to access if you do indeed have to pay a tax. And so we're going to talk about life insurance. There's misconceptions out there about life insurance. Mm-hmm. They can be a great tool to help with estate tax problems, a great tool, but we just have to understand them to make them leveraged and work properly in our estate. Mm-hmm. The second one is if you're a small business owner, how do I squeeze money out of a company? Very difficult to do. And then similarly, what if you own multiple properties? So what if, and specifically with property prices around here nowadays in the Pacific Northwest, what if you own a couple rentals and a primary home, and those three homes in and of themselves could be worth $2 million, let alone if you have a very nice home or if you live anywhere near water or anything else. So how do we accommodate and work all these three assets into an estate plan to ensure that, again, we want to mitigate, eliminate the estate tax burden? Can we do it with these three type of assets? So that's what we're going to talk about today, are these three different assets. So let's hit life insurance at the beginning.
Yeah, I've always heard that you get life insurance, like you say, a lot of times to take care of estate tax issues.
Yep. Yeah, that's
right. But you're
saying
that that doesn't always work that way? Or
it may or may not.
Because life insurance is not taxable.
And you have walked into the life insurance industry has done a spectacular job of getting that out to the public. Mm. And I'm telling you that it's partially right and partially wrong. Mm. So we got to talk about it.
Yeah.
And this is the misconception. So, and kudos to life insurance industry. You guys have done a great job, because here's the question right before me, which is it's tax-free. Okay, let's talk about it. So I have a $1 million life insurance policy in my estate, as an example. And I get it because I might own a business or I might own real estate, and I want to make sure that there is cash available to pay that tax. Multiple problems with that scenario just right out of the gate that my brain is firing on. So the first one is, let's talk about estate taxes, which is you have to take the sum of everything that you have control over. When you have a life insurance policy, if it is in your name, so you own it and you're the insured. So in other words, the policy is on you, and it's $1 million in my example, because I can change the beneficiary because I have control over that product. Okay. That means it gets counted in my estate. So that's one of the things that we have to value. And it's the full death benefit. So if I have $1 million life insurance product, on top of my business, on top of my house, on top of my investment accounts, 401k, bank accounts, everything else, now I add $1 million because I control it, because I control where it goes. It's called an incident of ownership. Okay, if you have an incident of ownership, then in the estate tax world, we look at the value of it that you controlled, and you controlled getting it to the hands of the beneficiary. So therefore, we take the full value and you add $1 million. Now, on the estate level, I just gave myself an additional $1 million, and my estate is going to pay a tax on the full value of my estate, or it's going to look at the full value of my estate to determine whether I'm over the threshold, and if I am, by how much, and then you got to pay a tax on everything that is over the exemption level. Okay. So therefore, your comment was, but I thought life insurance goes tax-free or is tax-free. It is tax-free to the receiver. So, Mark, congratulations. You are my beneficiary of my $1 million life insurance policy. Okay? Mm. If I list you as the beneficiary, you receive every penny of that $1 million, and it is not income to you. So therefore, you receive it tax-free. But my estate has to add it to the value of my estate. And now, because it's in my estate, it's exposed to estate taxes. Mm. So we're talking about two different taxes, and that's what the life insurance industry has been just amazing at, which is, but the beneficiary gets it tax-free, and they just tend to forget to talk about the estate tax consequence, and that's the problem. So now here's another issue. What if I got that because I own a business, and I need that to pay my estate tax? Because that could be a very valid reason to have a permanent life insurance policy, specifically at that level. It's $500,000, $750,000, $1 million, sometimes even more, depending on what we would believe your estate tax to be. It is a great product to own. It is absolutely for sure that it is going to cash out. And so it's very stable, and it is a very good product to have in your estate plan when it is necessary, when it's justifiable. It is just a rearranging of where your money is invested. Instead of investing in the market, you're going to invest it in a life insurance product, and that product is going to create tax-free money, which, by the way, would you have to add another 20% or more, usually even up to a third, to get the true value of that tax-free money. So if I have $1 million policy, it's actually worth at least 1.5 to 1.7 in my hands because it's going tax-free. Now, so it can be a very valid product, very valid to an estate plan. But I just named you as the beneficiary, didn't I? Mm. Can you pay my estate tax? Number one, do you want to? No, you don't. You want to keep all milling. So now I got to finagle, how do I get the tax from the beneficiary, and it's your legal money immediately upon my death because you're the beneficiary. It doesn't come to my estate. So number one, we name a beneficiary errantly, and it's their legal money. You don't have to be nice, Mark. You don't have to give it to my estate to pay the estate tax, but yet that's the purpose that I had it.
So a life insurance policy needs – the beneficiary can't be the Paul Grant estate or trust.
It absolutely can be.
Oh, it can be there. Okay.
Absolutely right. Can be. Right. And as a matter of fact, I see this mistake over and over, which is, well, we got it for estate tax purposes, but you didn't protect – that investment called a life insurance policy, you didn't protect that properly so that it gets to your estate so we have the cash to use. Or oftentimes what we do is we create what is known as an irrevocable trust. I almost always talk about revocable, means you have full power and control. Irrevocable means you no longer have power and control. And we can create an irrevocable life insurance trust, or fondly known as an ILET. So and that's where the policy is outside of my estate, and it doesn't get counted towards my estate tax because I no longer own it, but now I can control it through that trust. Mm. I can't have control over it, but they're going to want annual payments. So I'll keep paying the policy because now the purpose is going to be set that I can borrow from that. So really the answer is, Mark, I have to – my estate has to – come into a loan agreement with you to borrow that money from you. And so, but that's only if you're going to be nice. So one way or another, we want to get that cash back to the estate because that was the purpose of it. But there may be, we may have to jump through many hoops to get to it. And if we don't do it properly, we can expose it to estate tax. So we have to look at this product, which could be a great product. It could be a good financial decision for your estate overall. Mm. But if it's not done properly in the estate, then the purpose, the grand purpose of why you got it and why you're spending a pretty good chunk of money every year to keep that permanent policy moving forward, it may not be properly done. So we got to get the plan talking and then it must consider every asset you own. And we're going to talk about that after break, which is I'm not so sure that I've really ever seen many trusts or any estate plans deal with one of the most important assets that people own, which is their own business. And so if you're a small business owner out there, you say, oh, I already have an estate plan, Paul. Well, like the life insurance, does your plan specifically accommodate what happens with your business and how to protect your business for your family and for the purposes you see fit. So therefore, let's head into break and let's come out and talk about businesses and talk about real estate.
Okay, foundational questions in estate planning into the area of taxation, how to avoid that with a good trust, and you like Paul's approach to this subject, you want to know more about his services, how do people get in touch with you, Paul?
Head over to legacyandfaith.com. You can find past podcasts, upcoming educational opportunities, ways to communicate with the office so we can get together and see you. It's all found at legacyandfaith.com.
Back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant in just a moment.
Can I avoid probate? Will I lose everything if my health becomes compromised? How do I preserve what I have for me and my family? Will the government take it all? This is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. These are some of the most common questions we get on a daily basis, and there are solutions for all of these issues. It is time for you to protect your family and what God has placed under your stewardship, and we can help. Go to legacyandfaith.com to find out more about our services and upcoming educational opportunities. That's Legacy and Faith.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, looking at foundational issues in estate planning and creating a trust, and into the weeds a little bit with taxes, although I like being in these weeds because, to me, this is one of the main reasons you get a good, strong trust is to avoid taxation. As much as possible.
Yeah, that's one of...
And it's possible with a good trust.
Absolutely. It's one of people's values that I don't want to give money back over to the government. I've already paid my fair share of taxes, and now they want more because I was a good steward. I protected the money that came into my hands. I used it wisely. My family's well taken care of, and now there's another crack at it. So yes, I agree with you. Many people have that value. And good estate planning should be able to mitigate and oftentimes even fully eliminate the estate tax. But there's a couple other assets that are really difficult. So we talked about one that could be a great benefit to your estate, which is life insurance. And there's an appropriate place for life insurance to be a part of somebody's financial portfolio.
One question on life insurance, obviously, as you get older, it's harder to pay a life insurance premium.
Yeah.
Because, and so there, it does reach a point where a lot of people just let the life insurance go.
Yeah, and when you have a permanent policy, when that policy is well done, there should be a very stable payment that that is predictable. And when it's done intelligently and intentionally, then you should be able to calculate exactly what that is, have sufficient finances, and make sure it's not going to harm you personally, or it's not going to become a big sacrifice in the future. Because you're right. Behind the life insurance policy, there's always a premium that has to be paid with that policy. And so that that premium always goes up and up and up with every year that you get older. Mm-hmm. And that's how a permanent policy works in the background. But when it's well done, when it's thoughtfully done and done with purpose and intentionality, you can get a good proper life insurance product into your portfolio, and it won't harm
and
you.
Like we said, it is necessary if you have a larger estate to try and anticipate,
it can be.
To anticipate some of these expenses.
Yeah, specifically if you're going to be having the other two assets that are extremely difficult, which are businesses and real estate.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's move into businesses then.
Yeah, because
you're concerned that people don't really take this into consideration properly.
That's right. And the problem is that both of these assets are illiquid. Now, can we sell a piece of property? Yeah, and around the Pacific Northwest, currently, even with higher interest rates, property still moves at a decent clip. Mm. And so there still are not enough homes. As a matter of fact, it may be like this for a little bit because everybody refinanced 3-4 years ago, and they have such low mortgages that they don't want to forfeit that mortgage to go into a new home.
Well, I'm hearing people are buying property now outright with cash. They're not even getting a mortgage anymore.
Yeah, good for them.
So you can do that.
Yeah, exactly. So, but the problem is that what if we're in a not as good real estate market and you die? And now we don't have sufficient cash and we have to fire sell a property. Well, as a matter of fact, even in a good market, I have a client that passed away and we're in that scenario right now. So this happens even in good markets to where we're going to have to reduce the price of a house just because we need cash sooner than later. And so when we're dealing with estate taxes, that tax is due within 9 months. Mm. Now, we can get an extension, but if you get an extension for another 9 months, interest starts. Mm. So if you don't meet your deadline, just like income tax, interest and potentially penalties, depending on how big the check you have to write, begin. So what do you have in your estate? This is, again, looking at the whole estate to make sure that we can meet the burden. If you have a small business, you have probably built that business with your blood, sweat, and tears, and it is your baby. You probably even sacrificed your family to raise that baby more than your own kids. You built your business. And this is the mentality of small business owners, which is, I want to make sure that that is protected. Well, to start with, I've seen almost no estate plans ever come from another attorney that have considered the business, that specifically have written instructions about the business and how it's to be maintained and what needs to be done with it for the family. What if you have one child that wants to run the business, but you have another child that doesn't? How do we create equity? Or equality, excuse me, not equity. Equality. If you don't have cash, if you don't have life insurance, if you don't have some of the other wherewithal, and the business is worth $2 million and you live in a $800,000 home and have a $200,000 IRA, how does that work? Because the kid who wants to run the company is going to get the company, and all of a sudden we don't have an equal estate. But then the estate plan says divide everything equally. Okay. So now the child who wants nothing to do with the business has to own half of it? That's a bad scenario. So we have to look long term. Now, other people would say, but isn't that really something you should do at the business level? It's something you should do at both levels. You should take care of it in your business and have a good business transition plan to whether you die, become incapacitated, or whether you want to sell your business to somebody on the inside, outside, or family member. All of that transition needs to be accounted for at the business level, but not at the expense or absence of your estate plan. They have to work together. Again, this is taking asset by asset, making sure that everything fits like a nice puzzle. You can't have missing puzzle pieces. And unfortunately, that's what I see too often. I've said multiple times, there are two scenarios that are the most difficult for me to do estate planning around. One of them is business owners, and the other one are blended families. So these two groups need really good estate plan. Now, if you have life insurance, that's where having immediate cash, if it's done right, could save the business. Because if you do have a taxable estate, but all of your wealth is found in your business, or the same thing with property, which is we don't want to fire sell a piece of property. And you have one kid who says, I love property. The other one who goes, I want nothing to do with it because mom and dad just, they were always dealing with a problem at one of their properties. I'm out.
Right.
Okay. So we have that disparity if we have multiple properties or we have rentals.
Or would like to hear this, the family farm. We're going to save the family farm.
Yeah, thank you. Now, not as much on this side of the mountains, but yes, you get further up north, you get into Mount Vernon and you get into Whatcom County, you get over the mountains, farmland becomes a much bigger deal. And that, to my brain, that's like a business. And
sure.
So therefore, how do we protect these things? By having an estate plan that blends with your business, not having an individual plan that just says divide everything 50-50. Well, what if we can't? What if the business isn't that mature? Well, and other businesses are just that they're just producing cash and everything is on autopilot. Great. Most businesses that I come across are not that. Most of them are someone's working in the business, still making money. They're doing well. They're building their business. And then something happens to them because, well, they have a heart attack and die and they forgot to live life because they're small business owners and that's what they do. So the business plan needs to be accommodated for. And yes, even though I say I'm an estate and tax attorney, I do a lot of business work. And why? Because my clients own business. So therefore, we have to get your business documents aligning with your estate plan and your estate plan aligning with your business documents. They have to speak the same language and accomplish the same purpose. And we need to make sure that we have sufficient cash and ways to rescue the estate plan if your business is doing well, because again, that check is due in 9 months. And oftentimes, if we don't have the cash, we don't have life insurance, boy, we're in a big pickle. We're really hurting because now we have to do something with the business or we just simply can't pay it. Now, there are things like with farms, some businesses, other things that will delay and push the tax down the road. So I don't mean to make it sound like there's no options out there to help save and preserve businesses and specifically farms. Specifically, that family that is farming land. There are options out there, but again, if we don't know your circumstance, how do we ever plan around it? How do we ever create something at the beginning to ensure that when you pass away, which is usually a surprise, that we're not set up and ready for that incident. So we don't want to fire sell a business. We don't want to fire sell property. We need to look at every asset, life insurance, businesses, property. Even if you have really large 401ks, IRAs, that can be a problem for tax purposes. So if you're sitting on $3 million in IRA money and you have a house, that is equally a big of a problem because we're going to have to sell that, pay all the taxes in one lump sum to get value to pay the tax. Mm. So all these different considerations, we got to look at everything holistically.
Foundational questions in estate planning, making sure you have the right kind of trust for your situation. You're intrigued by Paul's approach to this, and you want to find out more about his services. How do people get in touch with you, Paul?
Head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com, past podcasts, upcoming educational opportunities, ways to communicate with us, all found at legacyandfaith.com.
It's the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.